hot Sunday morning. Great to see you here. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this morning, where we can gather together in the name of Jesus. Sing his praises, sing your praises, defy your word, hear it preached, proclaimed here today. We thank you, Father, for the privilege to do this, and thank you for all who have come out today. We pray that you would richly bless this hour, as we worship, as we sing, as we hear the word proclaimed, as we minister with each other afterwards. We pray for your blessing on this time, and may it encourage each of us. May we leave here changed for having been here and seeking your face. We give you thanks and praise, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Acts chapter 8. Beginning in verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because out of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for the worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let's have a word. Father, we thank you this morning for your great grace and mercy and love to us. Thank you for bringing us out this morning and for keeping us safe during this hot period. And we pray for Peggy today if she's not feeling well, if she got too hot. We pray that you'll undertake for her and strengthen her and bring her back to us. We pray for others too that may not be well today, that you might just comfort their hearts and give them the health and strength that they need to keep on going. And Lord, we pray your blessings upon the service today as we look into your word and as we see what it means to us. And we pray that you'll help us all to walk in fellowship with you and do your will. We thank you so much that we got the seal coat on the parking lot and that it looks very nice. Thank you for every gift that you give us here at the church, and pray that you will continue to help us during these days. We do pray for the missionaries today, our Father. I know this is missionary offering, and I pray that it might be a time when we can give back to the missionaries that which they need for their life. We do want to pray especially for the March family, as they'll be heading back to France on Wednesday evening. Pray that you will be with them in a very special way and undertake for them as they return to the mission field. We just thank you for the opportunity to be with them again this year and pray your blessings upon them. We do pray that you will continue to guide us as we look forward to the future and how we can continue serving you. We do pray, our Father, for this concert they're having at the Methodist Church, that it might be a blessing and that they would present the truth of the gospel. Lord, we just pray that you will guide and help us now, be with Pastor Steve in all that he's doing in these days, and bless him and his family. We pray, dear Father, that you'll continue to guide us all and lead us by your Spirit. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us. In Jesus' name. All right, let's look at Acts chapter 8 once again. We've been looking at the church there in Jerusalem, the first church, and all that they went through. We saw last week about Stephen, and the first few verses have to do with Stephen and the persecution that arose right after he was stoned. He was the first Christian martyr, and here it says a great persecution came up against the church. And the leader of that, of course, was Saul of Tarsus, the same one that had been there when Stephen was stoned and they put the coats at his feet. Now he is leading this persecution, this pogrom against the church. And we find here that the second one mentioned on the seven names that were chosen to take care of the problem there in the church, the widows, was Philip. And this is the second person that's mentioned. He doesn't go through all the others, so we don't know what they did after all. But we do know about Stephen, and we know something about Philip, right? And so here, you know, in the Bible, there's four different Philips that's mentioned. There's two. The son of Herod the Great, husband of Herodias, was named Philip the First. And then his half-brother, Philip the Second, was the son of Herod the Great. And then we had the Philip the Apostle, remember? Jesus chose Peter and Andrew, and the next day he went and found Philip and told him, follow me. And he did. And he's one of the apostles that we have there. And then this one here is one of the seven that was chosen, along with Stephen and the other men, to handle this problem. And so here we have Philip. And you know, it means, I don't know what significance this is, but he was a lover of horses. That's what Philip means. So anyway, lover of horses. So here, Philip here is the next one along. When Stephen was killed, this great persecution came, and Philip, along with most of the other believers, left Jerusalem, went out, and started evangelizing in other places. And later he is called Philip the Evangelist. So not only a deacon, but also an evangelist, proclaiming the gospel wherever he went. Here it says in verse 5, he went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And some of the other versions say, same city out of Samaria. So we're not quite sure what city it was, but it really doesn't matter. One of the major cities there in Samaria, among the Samaritans, you remember the half-breeds? They weren't really Jewish, but they were a mixture. And here he's preaching them. Jesus had talked to the woman in Samaria, you remember? And she was converted, and many of the people there with her. Now here, Philip was one who had an open heart and mind. He didn't have he wasn't a bigot, right? He was willing to go to the Samaritans, those that were not appreciated as much by the Jewish people, yet he had the heart that was open to reach out to them. And so he went down to Samaria, and God blessed his work there so much. Jesus was proclaimed as the Savior, the Lord. His message was true. It says he preached Christ to them. That's the message that he brought to the city of Samaria, the message that everyone needs to hear, right? Christ He's the Savior. He's the one that we need to emphasize. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Him. That's it. And so this is the message that Philip took to them. He preached Christ. Paul says in a different place, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That's the attitude that we should have. It's all for His glory, isn't it? To proclaim the message of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see here, once again, even with Stephen, we saw that he was able to do various signs and wonders. God gave him that power, and the same thing is true with Philip. In this early day of the church, they were able to cast out evil spirits and to heal those that were ill. Many taken with palsies, where those who were lame were healed. So God blessed his ministry and showed that he was truly a servant of God by the miracles that were done. The Spirit of God enabled him to perform all these signs and miracles, and it made the people want to listen to him. Now, that's where it was with Jesus when he went to place to place. Whenever he would heal someone, then all the crowd would come around and, hey, this is great. And that's the way it was here with Philip. And so they were listening, and many of them did believe. They received the word. They saw something happening, and they realized that God was working. And notice what it says in verse 8, and there was great joy in the city. Isn't that one? Great joy. Now that's what Christianity is all about. It brings joy to our hearts when we receive Jesus and know, hey, my sins are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? And here we find that there's great joy and there was victory over Satan. It goes on to talk about that. This it gives an example here of this man called Simon. Some people think of Simon the Magnus or whatever it was, you know, the great. If they speak of him as the great one. And here we find out he had been a sorcerer there in the city, using all kinds of, tricks or whatever to bewitch the people of Samaria, giving out that he was some kind of a great person, right? And they looked at him and they revered him as the great power of God. So he was presenting himself in this way. And yet, it says after a while, he listened to what Philip had to say and he believed. It says he believed, verse 12. When they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. Right? He believed. Now, I know there's some question that if he is this great Simon that they talk about in history, he turned out to be a great enemy of the church, whether it's the same person or not. But at any rate, here he believed. And he was baptized. And it's important to realize that. Jesus had told his disciples to go and proclaim the gospel, to baptize those who believed in him, and to lead them forth to serve him. So this is Jesus had commanded his disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel. You have a preacher, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, we know that baptism in and of itself does not save anybody here today. It's Jesus is the one who saves us, but then, in obedience to the divine command of Christ Jesus our Lord, we're baptized. Right? He told us to be. So we don't have any excuse to not be baptized. And so that's the next thing. First step of obedience is to be baptized. And baptism is a step of obedience for the believer. The Lord Jesus commanded us to be baptized, and we need to obey Him. If we believe in Him, we should obey Him. I have a little note here. It says the New Testament knows no such thing as an unbaptized believer. It's non-existent. There are 10 instances in the book of Acts, among all of the rest of the propagation of the gospel in that first Christian century, and there is no exception. There is no such thing as a believer not being baptized. So there we are. Something that is expected. It just goes along with it. And the Lord expects you to show your obedience, show your allegiance to Him by being baptized. That's what it's all about. That we are identifying ourselves as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ by obeying Him in baptism. And here we see Simon. He said he believed and it looked good. And then the apostles came down. They sat down, Peter and John. You know, it always seems like Peter and John are together, right? Jesus divided them up two by two, and apparently Peter and John worked together. And here they came to Samaria so that these people would receive the Holy Spirit. Now, in the beginning days of the church, that's the way it was. Today it's different. When a person receives Christ, the Holy Spirit does come to indwell us. Jesus said, you have the Spirit with you, and He will be in you forever. So, this is it. Now, Simon sees Peter and John working, and they put their hands on people, and they receive the Holy Spirit. I don't know how they knew that. It doesn't say what happened, but something happened that showed that they had received the Spirit. It says, verse 17, they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. He offered them money. But Peter said, your money perish with you. Because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Money is a different matter. He said, we have to worship, have one master, God, and not mammon, which is money. That's the way of the world. Here Simon is expressing the way people think. Oh, hey, I'm paying for this. Peter said, no. Your money perish with you. You've got the wrong idea. If you're going to follow money, then you can forget about Jesus, right? He's the Savior. And not that money isn't nice. I know that. It's nice to have a little bit of it, huh? What do you think? And there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, to offer that up for the Spirit of God, no, that's not going to work. And he says, I perceive that you are in the gall of iniquity. Well, that's pretty bad. In gall. And you are not going to make it if you continue in that way. So I don't know if he really believed or not. He believed in some sense of the word, but did he really accept Jesus as his Savior? But he did say, he said, you pray for me. I don't want this to happen. And so we'll see what one of these days we'll find out whether old Simon made it or not. Wait a minute. Anyway, He had been a sorcerer. He wanted to buy God's power. He thought that, hey, that would make me look good, right? And Peter sternly rebuked him. He says, let your money perish with you. You don't have any part in this matter. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. That's pretty bad. What did he tell him to do? Repent. Repent of your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. Ask God to forgive you for that. You may not. You don't need to continue on in that path, but repent. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. So, it remains to be seen what this man actually did. And he says, pray for me. So maybe he did. I hope he did. And then he made things right with God. So here we find this wonderful evangelistic crusade going on there in Samaria. Peter and John are there. But Philip is proclaiming Christ and seeing a great number of people saved and brought to the Lord. And so it's wonderful to see all this. And it says in verse 25, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of Samaria. So they were evangelizing the whole area, right? And Peter and John going back to Jerusalem. Now Philip is given a different assignment. Notice this, verse 26. The angel of the Lord spoke to John. Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goes down to Jerusalem to Gaza, which is dead. And when it says Gaza, is that talking about the Gaza we know now? I don't know. I guess I should have looked that up. But it is the same, perhaps the same area. From Jerusalem to God's desert area. So, the angel speaks to Philip. He says, now you leave this evangelistic crusade you're having in Samaria with all these hundreds of people being saved and go down to the desert. And what did he do? He arose and went. See? That's what God wants us to do. When he says something to us, we need to just say, okay, and obey. Trust and obey. That's what Philip did here. And he went down to the desert. He had no idea who was going to be there. But here he becomes not only an evangelist, but he becomes a personal worker. Because there's a certain man that just happens to be there in the desert, going in his chariot back towards home. He's been to Jerusalem, worshiping the Lord, and now he's going back to Africa. It says Ethiopia. I understand it's not the Ethiopia that we know about today, but maybe further south, down in Sudan and in that area. But at any rate, he's a very important person. It says a eunuch of great authority under the queen of the Ethiopians. Now this word Candace, or they pronounce it some different in some other versions, it's a title. It doesn't mean that's her name. It's a title. And it stands for like Pharaoh or something. This is the title for the queen of the Ethiopians. And he was the one who was in charge of the treasury. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning and was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. He probably went to the temple bookstore, what do you think? And bought a copy of the scroll of Isaiah. And now he's taking it back with him in the chariot. And what the past time he's reading the book of Isaiah. And here he is in the 53rd chapter. That wonderful chapter that people use, the the ones that work with the Jewish people especially, always use Isaiah chapter 53 to show them that, Jesus is there in the Old Testament. Hundreds of years before he was born in Bethlehem, he's there in Isaiah. And here we find the scripture that's being read. It says, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, look at Peter, and he said, I know, what the hell was he here? He looks at Philip, and he says, who is he talking about? Is he talking about himself or somebody else? And it says, Philip took it, and he began to preach unto him Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what we need to do. Preach unto them Jesus. I left out the part about the chariot. They tell us it was a big chariot, maybe with an entourage of people all around and everything. And it wasn't just a little chariot like Ben Hur. Not that kind of chariot. This was a big chariot. And he was relaxing and reading, and the Philip comes along beside him.
He said, would you come up and tell me about this wonderful
book that I'm reading, Isaiah? And so he, preached unto him Jesus. And it's interesting to see how this is all working out. He contacted this fellow Ethiopian eunuch and talked to him. And explained to him that this is talking about the Lord Jesus. Now, we don't know what all this is. How long of a trip was this? I don't know. But anyway, Philip has an opportunity to talk with him more. And apparently, he explained to him about Jesus. And then he must have told him about being baptized, right? He wouldn't have known otherwise. Because it says here in, let's see. Let me get it here. Verse 36. As they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, here's water. What is hindering me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, I know in some of the other versions that's not clear. I realize all that. But to me, that's something he probably would have said. You think? I think so. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water. Notice. And he baptized him. He immersed him in the water, and to show that he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had received him as his Savior, and he was going to follow him. So we have this wonderful time here, and then it's kind of a mystery, you know. I don't know. These things don't seem to happen anymore. It says that the Spirit of the Lord talked him away, and he ended up in a completely different place. And is that true? Of course it's true. That's what he said. And God has a way of doing this. He ended up at Azotus, and the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. This man who had been confused, he was perplexed. He'd been to Jerusalem. He'd worshipped at the temple. And he got the Word of God, and he was reading it. And he didn't understand it. Philip comes along and explains it to him, shows him how he can be saved. Isn't that wonderful? And now he's going on his way to Jerusalem. And according to some of the history books and all the rest, this man went back to Ethiopia, or that area where he lived, began a Christian work, and saw a great movement of the Holy Spirit there in his homeland. So it's wonderful to see that. You know, Paul told Timothy, he says, do the work of an evangelist. So Philip is a good example of an evangelist. He preached to the multitudes. He went from place to place telling the gospel story. He was willing to obey God and travel a great distance to reach one person who was seeking God. But he was also careful to reach his own family. And we don't have time to look at that this morning. But he had four daughters, and all four of them, it says, prophesied. Okay? So they knew the Word of God. They were able to proclaim the Word. And he raised his family to know the Lord and to follow him. So this is Philip, the deacon, the evangelist, personal worker, and the father, the one who raised his family to follow the Lord. So it's wonderful. This is what God wants us to do, is to be good witnesses for him in every way we possibly can, whether it be to more than one person or one or our neighbor, whoever it might be, that we might be a blessing and a help to others. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, this morning for this witness that we have about Philip and these others that were preaching the gospel of Christ. Help us to have the same attitude and to reach out to our friends and neighbors and those that we know that we might be able to see them come to know Christ as God. Your holy will be done, we pray today.
Trust and pray that everyone here today knows him as their Savior. And we pray that if there is any who do not know, that they would call out to him even now as we conclude this service, or reach out to one of us after we have concluded and ask us more about how they can be saved, that they can know for sure they're on their way to heaven, that their sins are forgiven, and they have eternal life. We praise you for this wonderful message, and help us this week to share it faithfully with those that you give us the opportunity share Christ with you. Thank you again for this time. Commit ourselves to you as we head out for this day, and we pray for your blessing on the service tonight as we begin. We commit these things to you as we give thanks and praise in Jesus' name.